Okay.
So the truth is, we all need miracles, but because we've been manipulated, a lot of us have become very skeptic around miracles. Now, as a church, we can either go with the skepticism or choose to look at the scriptures to understand the heart of God regarding miracles. Because miracles were there in the Old Testament. Miracles were there during the days of Jesus. Miracles were there in the early church. And miracles are there today. Glory be to God. Amen. So you and I need to come to a place of not throwing the baby with the water. We've got to say, what is the heart of God regarding miracles? Now, before I get ahead of myself, let's define what a miracle is. What is a miracle? Now, a miracle is when God temporarily suspends natural laws in order to make a way for someone. It's when God suspends natural laws for a moment in order to make a way for you. It's when heaven intervenes in the affairs of man, where naturally certain things cannot happen. They then happen because heaven has stepped in. In other words, it's a collision of the super and the natural. That's where we call of supernatural activities. Supernatural activities. I don't know if you have experienced miracles in your life, where in the natural you were disqualified, but somehow you were picked. Come on now. How do you explain that? You can't explain it. We're about to take a trip with my family on Thursday last week, the other week. And on Monday, my kids, both of them were down with something that felt like COVID. They were out. And there we were saying, you know, if they have COVID, we won't be able to travel. Everything has been put in place. My son was the first one to go down, and then my daughter, and then me. And there we were praying and saying, Lord, we need a miracle. Because in our sight, we had seen COVID before, and everything pointed to COVID. And I started losing taste. My smell, sense of smell, gone. What was that? COVID. Whatever it is. And I said to my wife, you know what? Let's pray. Let's trust the Lord for a miracle. Amen. Let's believe God for something out of this world. Thursday, Wednesday afternoon, they went for their tests. So we could not pack our bags until we got the results. We could not even tell people around us that the trip is still on. We're waiting for the results. The results came Wednesday night. COVID negative. COVID negative. Hallelujah, Jesus. As Pastor Stewart would say it. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right? For me, it's a miracle because what I saw with my eyes, what I felt, pointed to what we had seen in the past 2 years. And I'm saying to you, all of us at some point, we need God to temporarily supersede natural laws for us. I was in varsity in 2002, and my parents had paid my fees for my first year. Well, my uncle, my mother's brother, but he couldn't pay. That's UCT fees, 2001. They then told me, we cannot pay your second year fees. I'm not South African. Okay, for those of you who don't know. So I was looking for a bursary. And I looked through the bursary book at UCT. It says, this year is for South Africans only. This bursary is for South Africans only. But my heart said, I'm gonna apply for that. I'm gonna trust the Lord for that. Before then, I had prayed and fasted for a breakthrough, for a miracle, for money. And the Lord took me to the book of Daniel. I fasted for 3 days, I remember, in May 2001. And the Lord spoke to me and says, Michael, I'm the Lord of all nations. I will bless you in this nation.
Amen.
He said, remember, Daniel was a foreigner in Babylon,
Amen.
But I blessed him in Babylon.
Yes.
I prayed and I trusted God. I applied for that bursary. It went to one of the construction companies here in Joburg. Now, 4 years down the road, I'm going through my HR file because I end up working for this company. In that file, there was a letter written by the MD of Greenacre LTA, Average, which said, this is the kind of people we need. Please give this youngster a bursary.
Amen.
I got a call from Greenacre in August 2001. Michael, we'll give you a bursary.
Amen.
But it won't cover you. Come on, let's clap our hands to Jesus. You don't have to bribe your way to get things. You need a miracle.
Amen.
Come on now. You need a miracle where God suspends natural laws for you.
Amen.
They gave me a bursary in August 2001. And they said to me, we won't be able to pay your first year, your second year fees because you applied late. Please make sure you cover your second year fees. December came. There was no money from home. And I say to the guys at HR, you know what, you wanna pay my fees for my third year, but I cannot re-register because my second year fees are not paid. I had prayed and the Lord said to me, Michael, my inheritance for you is complete. And I said to them, I can't re-register. And they said to me, how much is it? And I said, 36,000 rand. They wrote 36,000 rand for my second year fees. Come on now, talk about miracles. Before then, the Lord had given me a word. He said to me, you're going to work in South Africa. You're going to work for this company for 6 years. So when they gave me a bursary, they said to me, Mike, where do you want to work? In Angola? In Zim? In Mozambique? Or in South Africa? And well, I know what God told me. I'll be here in South Africa. Glory be to God.
Amen.
I started working with them in 2004, July. And I left them in July 2010. 6 years. Don't tell me God is not able.
Amen.
Don't tell me God is not a miraculous God. Hallelujah. When I resigned, it was after I resigned that I realized exactly 6 years. God moved us to Pretoria from Centurion, from Cape Town. I'm talking about God suspending natural laws in order to make a way for you. Now, miracles induces divinity in natural circumstances. The impossible becomes possible in the presence of the Most High God. Now, let me say from the onset that your life was never designed to live from miracle to miracle. In as much as miracles are important, in as much as miracles are great, but it was never the design of God for you and I to live from miracle to miracle. But rather, the design of God for you is for you to live in the state of blessedness. So there are two things. Miracles and God's blessings. They all require the move of God, but they operate differently. You see, when you live your life from miracle to miracle, it means you're living from crisis to crisis. That's not the desire of God for you. You see, a miracle is like an emergency exit, but a blessing is a way of life that is governed by natural laws. Two different things. Miracles are an emergency exit. If you've been in a taxi before, you see that the window at the back is called emergency exit. Hit this window if something is happening. If you lift your knee and you hit that thing, it pops out. It won't break, it just pops out. That's a miracle. God does not want us to always pop out of crisis. No, that's not the desire of God for us. But it's important for us to understand that miracles are a doing of God. Now, because miracles are unnatural, they are never permanent. Miracles are not permanent. You see, the Lord created laws that govern the operation of His creation. And He wants you and I to live by those laws. Let's talk about the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, they cried out for food. And the Lord allowed manna to fall down in the morning. Every single morning, there was manna that tasted like coriander seed with honey around it, baked in heaven. Don't tell me there are no kitchens in heaven. I don't know how he did it, but there was manna. The reason why it was called manna, everyone was asking, what is this? What is this? What is this, right? That happened for 40 years until they crossed River Jordan and they entered into Canaan. And Joshua told them that this is the last time you're going to have manna. Why? In Canaan, you're going to have to work. That's the plan of God for you. The Lord will create opportunities for you to work through principles that governed blessings. Glory be to God. You see, temporarily he suspends natural laws, but always he returns situations back to their natural way of doing things. If you look at the whole issue of the bursaries, it's not as if everybody who prayed is going to get a bursary even if they are not South African. No, the Lord is not there to violate natural laws always. And we need to understand that as believers. Now, I want you to realize that there are three important reasons for receiving from God through blessings and not just through miracles. Miracles are temporary, but blessings are permanent. Number one, blessings prevent crisis, whilst miracles deliver us from crisis. Would you rather be delivered from a crisis or be prevented from getting into a crisis? It's important that as we teach on miracles, we are very balanced on this. God does not want us to live from miracle to miracle. So we are saying blessings prevent crisis, but miracles deliver from crisis. It's like, Lord, I need healing right now because I want to fly. You know? You need a way out right there. Secondly, a blessing is always a more abundant supply than a miracle. The blessings of God will always provide way more than a miracle will do. Why? Because a blessing is continuous. If you think about the provision of the fish and bread up in the mountain when Jesus was preaching, where he multiplied the loaves and the fish, it was just for that moment. It's not as if that whole 5,000 continued going back to the mountain and they'll get a portion of fish and bread. No, it was just for that moment. But if they had been taught how to fish, the Lord is able to continue supplying them. Do you hear me this morning? Amen. Thirdly, miracles are a temporary fix, whilst blessings are permanent solutions. So important for us to have that balance and to understand that. You see, both miracles and blessings require God's power. But the difference is that blessings flow through natural means. And the Lord wants you to understand that. He says, give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into your bosom. Would you rather allow God to give you a miracle, a once-off to pay your debt, or you want God to bless you and to teach you how to gain wealth? Amen. The Bible says it is the Lord that teaches us how to gain wealth. That's the blessing of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. You see, it is so important that you understand that. Every believer needs to know how to initiate and how to receive a miracle. Now, many times in our churches, we are not taught the technology of initiating or the technology or the how part of receiving a miracle. Because more often than not, the man in the front wants you to depend on him. And therefore, he doesn't teach you principles on how to tap into the glory of the Lord. Amen. So that when you run out, you come and run here with your $500 note and you throw it here. That's not how God operates. Yeah. Anything that is done in secrecy, has no God in it. The Lord Jesus said, I haven't hidden anything from you. What the Father has shown me, I have shown you. He says, I no longer treat you as servants. I treat you as friends because I have shown you everything. It is important that you and I grasp this notion on how to steer an environment for miracles. That is why we're going to be teaching on a breeding ground for miracles. How do you ensure that your home is a breeding ground for miracles? How do you ensure that it is a fertile environment where when you lay hands on your children are healed? Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. How do you create an environment where when you are looking for a job and the job hasn't been coming, you're able to cultivate an environment for a breakthrough? It is so important that we learn these things. You see, one of the problems we face is that most Christians don't know how to receive a miracle. In other words, we don't know how to create an environment. I was thinking, there's a type of fruit that grows up in Limpopo. Think about avocados. Think about macadamia nuts. If you go to the Western Cape, you see grapes. It's difficult to see grapes up in the north. What's the issue? The environment and the climatic condition is not geared for that type of fruit. And this morning when I say to you, you have to create a conducive environment where angelic activities happen all the time. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. How do we create an environment where the supernatural becomes a daily affair in our lives? You see, you need to ensure that you don't wait to figure out how to receive a miracle when you're in a crisis. Because more often than not, when we are in a crisis, you receive a report from the doctor that says, hey, listen, there's cancer in the body. The moment you hear those words, panic comes into your spirit, into your heart. Fear comes in. And at that time, your faith gets short-circuited. You are not able to believe even the very scriptures that you recited from kindergarten. What am I saying? You need to prepare before time. Preparation is key. And the way to prepare is make provision before time. Make provision before the crisis hits you. We know we are in a fallen world. Crisis will come at some point. You need to be sure that when it happens, you know how to handle it.
Amen.
The reason why we panic is because we are not ready for it. In the same way that we say, are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus? And I say to you, are you ready for the coming of a crisis in your life? I'm not a prophet of doom. But John 16, verse 33, the Bible says, in this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Crisis will come. The Bible says, the evil day will come when you go to Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you're able to withstand when that evil day comes. Saints, it's not an if, it's a when. And when it happens in your life, what will you do? People will die. I'm telling you, people will die. Today it's my people, tomorrow it might be your person. What do you do in that moment of loss? You see, God is not confused, nor does he change. He has a way of operating. And if we can tap into his way of operation, we'll be able to access what is in the hands of God. If we're able to understand how he operates, so let's look at the Bible. A few supernatural examples so that we can stir up our faith in this moment. Now, let's look at some examples in the Bible which will show the power of God, how God is unlimited. I know you know that God is not limited, but allow me to remind you this morning, so that when you believe God for a miracle, you know that the God of Abraham is your God today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The God who enabled Hannah to give birth is your God today. Hallelujah. Amen. Firstly, the creation miracle. That was the first miracle that was recorded in the Bible. And the book of Genesis tells of the creation miracle. And in this miracle, God spoke things into being. God, excuse me. See, God formed things into being. And I want you to know that God is able to form things in your life. The same way He spoke things into being, He will speak things into your life. Can I hear an amen this morning?
Amen.
He's able to do that. He hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It shows the limitless capacity of God, and God is still in the business of creating things. Is there something missing in your life today? If you believe in the God of Genesis, He is able to come and create that in your life. Reproductive miracles. And quite in line with His creative abilities, God enabled women in the Bible to give birth who could not give birth. And these women petitioned God. They cried out to the God of heaven. Question, God, didn't you see that Hannah was barren? God, why didn't you just come in and open her womb? God, Rebecca was barren and Isaac was a promised child. Didn't you see that Rebecca was barren? But the Bible says Isaac prayed to God for his wife Rebecca to give birth. Can you see something here? You see, God wants to do something in your life, but God is waiting for you to make the move. And every time people moved, God moved. It's like a chase game. When you play chess, you move, the other person moves. If you don't move, they can't move. Some of you are saying, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to do something in my life. But God looks down and says, I'm waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. A breeding ground for miracles. Healing miracles in the Bible. You see, when people talk about miracles, this is their default. We talk about this person was blind. Now they can see. This person was deaf. Now they can hear. This person was crippled. Now they can walk. And the Bible is full of those type of miracles. I want you to know it's not the only type of miracle that God is doing under the earth. The Lord is still doing miracles in families. The Lord is still reconciling hearts. Fathers are being reconciled with their sons. Wives and husbands are being reconciled. Where you thought this one is dead and gone, the Lord comes and breathes life into it. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Healing miracles include people being raised from the dead. You talk about Lazarus, the one Jesus spoke to and says, Lazarus, come forth. I want you to know this morning that God is still in the business of bringing life where there is no life. Provision miracles. We see in the Bible from time to time where the Lord would allow provision in a supernatural way. Talk about the prophet Elijah when there was no rain in Israel for 3.5 years. The Bible said the Lord told Elijah, go to this brook and I will provide for you. And at that brook, he drank from that brook until it dried out. And a crow was bringing food. A steak on its beak. I don't even know where this crow got this meat from. Maybe it went to King Ahab's palace. There he got the meat. But whatever, wherever this animal, this bird got this food, God knew, I have my servant whom I have positioned and I will provide. When the brook had dried up, the Lord said, there's a woman. There is a woman that's going to provide for you. He went to this woman, and the guy said to the woman, please provide for me. And the woman said, you must be crazy. I only have a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour for me to prepare some bread with my son to eat and die. And the man of God says, start with me. You see, when God wants to do a miracle, some of the things he will ask you to do sound like bizarre. Like, God, that doesn't make sense. But through that, the woman had enough until rain came. Supernatural provision. We all know what Jesus did twice, feeding thousands and thousands by blessing a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. In John 21, when Jesus appeared again before the shore, his disciples were out on the seashore trying to fish. They couldn't catch anything. And the Lord told them what to do. There was enough fish for them. But when they came to shore, they found Jesus with a fire, and there was bright fish, and there was bread. Don't tell me Jesus cannot provide for you. Now, it's all good, but how do we create a breeding ground for miracles? Because sometimes we know there are miracles, but we don't really believe that they can happen to us. I don't know about you, but I've had moments in my life where I fail to believe that it's possible. I have doubted God in a number of occasions. But as I teach and as we go through this series, my prayer is that your faith will be stirred up for you to believe in the miraculous God. For you to believe that it is possible to experience total healing in the name of Jesus. For you to believe that it is possible for your finances to be turned around. Amen. So we're listening to another pastor as we're with my family. And he started talking about the power of God and how God creates doors and opportunities for you. And as I was listening, the Lord reminded me of the talent, the story, the parable of the talent, where a master gave two talents to one talent to another, and five talents to the other. And the master came back and said, please show me what you have done. You might find that a miracle for you might be that one talent. But what you do with that one talent determines the magnitude of the blessing of God over your life. My wife and I started a business in March 2020. What was happening in March 2020? COVID. I remember I resigned on the 3rd of March, 2020. On the 26th of March, we were shut out. But we knew the Lord had opened a window of opportunity. And now the Lord is reminding me these things as I was listening to this message. And he said to me, Michael, I gave you a seed of two contracts. So God gave us two contracts. That's what we started our business with. And he was saying to me, what have you done with those two contracts? So a miracle happened in which, like that, a company offered us two contracts. And I knew that was the window that God had opened for us, and I resigned. From then on today, I don't know, we keep talking about multiple contracts that the Lord has allowed us to step into. But he did not give us 10 at that point, he just gave us two. Now, when God gives you a miracle, it kickstarts your faith. It jumpstarts your faith. It's what you do with the miracle that God has given you that determines the magnitude of the blessing in your life. Glory be to God. So God gave you one talent and you say, amen, it's just one talent. It's just one talent that God gave me. It's just one ability. It's one song that I've just recorded. But what have you done with that just one thing that God has given you? And you know very well that it was not by my doing, but it was the doing of God. I gave you two talents, but what did you do with them? The one who had one talent said, I just buried it because I know you're such a harsh taskmaster. And I said, I'm not going to do anything with this here. I'm just going to give back to you. And he said, you foolish servant, you should have invested that talent, and by now there should have been interest. In other words, God does not want us to live in the realm of miracles only. He wants us to operate using principles. Yeah. Glory be to God. Now, by looking through the Bible, we will discover that usually there were certain conditions that were necessary for a miracle to occur. What are these conditions? Number one, You guessed it. There has to be the presence of a humanly impossible situation. There has to be a problem. You're crying for a miracle. Without knowing it, you're crying for a problem. Do you hear me this morning, saints? You trust in God for a miracle. It means there is a problem around you. In other words, you can't have a miracle unless there is a humanly impossible situation. In Acts 10:38, where we read, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went with power, who went about doing good, healing the sick, for God was with him. There were problems. When Jesus would walk down the streets of Jerusalem, he could see the crippled. He could see the paralyzed. He could see the lepers. He could see the divided families. And what was he doing? He did good in all of those situations. Biblically speaking, a miracle is an answer to a humanly impossible problem that someone had. Maybe you have not considered to trust God for a miracle in your life. Maybe you have seen so many fake things going around, and you have begun to believe that miracles were for the times of the apostles only. There is a doctrine of cessationists, people who believe that the powers of the Holy Spirit were only for the early church. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the power that ensued from that was only for the establishment of the early church. This morning, may God help us to have a revelation that even today, the same God, the God of Paul, is our God today. If as a church, if we can come together and believe God for the impossible, we will see the impossible becoming possible. I don't know your situation this morning, but the God of heaven is present to change those situations. So that is the first thing this morning. For a miracle to be called a miracle, there must have been an impossible situation in your life. Number two, a breeding ground for miracles. There has to be the presence of the true God. There has to be the presence of God in your life and in your situation. You see, if you look at all the miracles in the Bible, the common trend of the miracles of the Bible was never the recipient of the miracle. It was the giver of the miracle. The main issue whenever a miracle happened, it was not so much the provision that happened in the Samaritan city. You remember when the four lepers were outside Samaria, which had been besieged by the Aramean army, where there was now hunger in the city, and the four lepers who had been castigated and they were sitting by the ash dump, they say to themselves, it's either we sit here and die, or we rise up and do something. And they said, we'll go to the Aramean camp. If we die, we die. They rose up, and the Bible says, as they were walking towards the Aramean camp, the Lord made the Aramean to hear the footsteps of a mighty army. Now, they connected with God. They initiated a miracle. By them moving like that, the Lord was able to do something. Glory be, God, be to God. Don't tell me we cannot connect with miracles. Don't tell me there's nothing we can do. It's out of our power. You see, they could have remained standing there, but they said to themselves, we're not going to die here. We might as well die trying something. And by so doing, they instigated a miracle. And by the end of the day, the word that was declared by the prophet Elijah became a reality. Why? Somebody dared to do something. A miracle requires some of us to dare to reapply for some of those jobs. Come on now. Now, the power to perform miracles lies with God, not with man. And I think that is one of the major problems we have in some of the churches we have today, whereby the focus is not so much on God. The focus is on this man, the point man, whereby it's like a show that we are doing so that our names can be broadcasted. But, you know, I don't think that's the heart of God when it comes to these kind of things. And I want you to realize this morning that though God uses men, but God is the source of the miracles. Why is it that after a show of a musical show, we don't go to the speaker and say, "Amen, that was amazing. Wow. You pick the speaker, you carry it." We don't do that. We go to the guy who was behind the mic. The guy who was singing, right? But in Christendom, we do that. "Oh, speaker. Well done, speaker." No. It's just an instrument.
Yeah.
Go to the source and say, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're so awesome. Jesus, you moved with power this morning. Jesus, I love you." What am I saying? We have to remember the source of the miracles. It's not about the point, man. John the Baptist understood that. And he said, "I decrease so that you can increase. Glory be to God." It's not about us. It's about Him. So when you receive a miracle in your life, remember it's about Him. It's about God. We can pray with you. We can join our faith with you. We are just instruments and conduits through which God's power is being disseminated. We need the presence of God for miracles to happen. Look at this. Luke chapter 1 verse 34. One of the most profound miracles that happened more than 2,000 years ago, when an angel came to an ordinary girl, a 16-year-old girl, who had not known a man, who did not understand much about life, who was not known in that community. And the angel said, "You have found favor before God." Hallelujah. I'm talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible says, "Then Mary said to the angel," when the angel had told her that you shall give birth to a son. And then Mary said, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And this is the point. It's an impossible situation. She had not known a man. She was engaged to Joseph. And the angel answered and said to her, Mary, it's not about you. But the Holy Spirit shall come on you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One which will be born of you shall be called Son of God. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit that made it possible. If you are to see miracles in your life, let the Holy Spirit be present in your life. He is a creative power behind God. Hallelujah. Number three, for a miracle to happen, this is one of the things that need to be present: the presence of faith. Oh yes, I know this sounds like cliche, but for you to receive a miracle, saints, you don't need too many people around you. All you need is a seed, a God type of seed called faith. All you need is faith. And that is why the Bible says, to him that believes, all things are possible. All things are possible. It is so important, saints. Mark 9 verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." The key to see God at work in our lives is the presence of the God type of faith. The key to see miracles in the lives of our children, it is to deposit the God type of faith in their hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 6. The Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. Without faith, it is impossible. It's an emphatic no, 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 no. We can't please God unless we carry this thing called faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to him must believe that he exists, one. Number two, must believe that he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. Talk about the environment for miracles. You must believe that God exists. You must believe that he is a rewarder. His heart, his default in his heart is to bless. His default in his heart is to make good in your life. Do you struggle to believe in the goodness of the Lord in your life? I want to challenge you this morning to try God again. See, God is a source of miracles, but to receive it, you need to put your faith to work on your behalf. In the presence of a God type of faith, then it is true that all things are possible. Now, let me finish up by saying, as you apply your faith for a miracle, you need to know that there is a higher plan or a purpose than God just doing a miracle for you. And that is where now there is a contradiction. There is conflict that happens in our hearts. When you have trusted God for a miracle, but the miracle happens, doesn't happen. You get conflicted in your spirit, man. And some of you have come out of a season where things have not worked out the way you wanted them to. And as a result, you took offense towards God. Have you been there? Where for a season you struggle to pray because God has not provided an answer for your prayer. Most in the way you wanted it. Now, it's important for us to realize that we serve a sovereign God who has a will for our lives. God knows what is best for you, what is best for this church. Man, I would have loved this church to be packed by people by now, but it hasn't happened so. It has happened slowly. I could have been discouraged, but there is a God in heaven who has a purpose for everything under the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when you don't receive an answer for a miracle, it does not necessarily mean your faith did not work. Yes, sometimes your faith failed, but it's not the case always that your faith has not worked. Whatever God does, it is always in accordance with his plan and will for your life. Amen. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. There's a God in heaven who wants to do things in a certain way for his glory. Remember, you and I were created for his pleasure. Hallelujah. Not for our pleasure. As a child of God, if you can have that revelation, you'll be able to go through storms in your life, and you know very well that all things work together for my good. Hallelujah. How many of us have recited Romans 8:27? But at some point, it doesn't make sense at all. Like, but hey, man, doesn't make sense. How can you say this is working out for my good? Sometimes when God answers our prayers, he doesn't answer with a miracle, but he answers with a grace to endure your situation. I want you to take note of that. Sometimes he comes and he pops that emergency exit. But sometimes he allows the taxi to roll. You have bruises. And you wonder, but God, I prayed for travel mercies. God, I speck the blood of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus on my vehicle, but my vehicle still rolled. But the fact that you're still talking, God has answered your prayers. So I was having a devotion with my kids, preparing them for the outcome of their results. So I say to them, listen here, guys. We have prayed. We have trusted God for the good results, for what we need for this trip. Okay? So I say to them, if the Lord wants us to go on this trip, the results will be negative. Then we go. But if the Lord has another plan for us, the results will be positive. And if they are positive, we must thank him because his will has prevailed. Yes. He is probably saying to us, guys, where you're going is not going to be well for you. And therefore, I'm going to make a way for you by making you, by allowing this situation to have this outcome. So I was saying to them, either way, I said to them, God is preparing you to deal with life in the correct way. God will always answer your prayers. Sometimes not in the way you want. So I say to them, my heart is set. I want to go on this trip. That is me. The moment I did not want to go at some point, but at some point my heart shifted and I'm like, let's go. So I say to them, if your results are positive, I want you to deal with it in this way. But in the bedroom, when I was chatting with my wife, she says to me, but also it might be an attack of the enemy. It might be the devil attacking this trip if these results are positive. And I said, oh, well, I cannot get into that. But I choose to believe that the Lord is in control. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we give control to the enemy. You know? So what I'm saying to you, you face those circumstances in your life. Some of you are trusting God. Lord, bless me with that guy as my husband. He fits the profile. He fits the profile. But the guy doesn't pop the word, the question. And you say, God, you don't hear me. He has heard you. He has saved you from calamity. So, but let me give you one story and we call it a day this morning. Regardless of his choice, you must trust that he is working in your best interest. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. I think this will put this thing to bed and we'll land the plane here. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. The story of the Apostle Paul, and he says from verse 1, I'm not going to read from verse 1, I'll paraphrase. He said, I know of a man 14 years ago who was caught in the third heavens. And he says, I don't know whether it was in the spirit or it was in the natural. God knows. And I know that this man was shown things that he cannot tell everybody. And he says, this man should be boasting about this, but I'm not going to boast so that I don't allow you to think of me higher than I am. And then he goes now, he then says, therefore, in order, this is verse 7, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Huh? You see, theologically speaking, no one really understands what that thorn is. There are all sorts of explanations, but nobody, because Paul does not tell us what that thorn was. But he says, a thorn was given to me to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. How many times have you pleaded with the Lord with that thorn? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Glory be to God. Paul, brother Paul, understands this issue. Even the Lord Jesus, do you know how many times he asked the Father, may this cup pass me by? In the Garden of Gethsemane, three times. He was saying, Lord, if it is possible, may this cup pass me by. But the will of the Father was different. And then he says, but not my will, but your will be done. What was the will of God? Was for Jesus to drink the cup. Miracles are possible, but the sovereignty of God prevails amongst all. Glory be to God. Amen. This morning I want us to pray. I want us to pray concerning the subject matter of miracles and say, Lord, give me a revelation. I want a renewed revelation around your power at work in my life. Some of you might need to even repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I had become a doubting Thomas in my life, where I've doubted the ability of God to move on my behalf because I've seen so much failure in my life. But today, Lord, I trust you that you're able. Come on now, let's pray.